The following message is the fourth in a series of six messages entitled The Weapons of Our Warfare. For additional copies of this message, write John Osteen Ministries, Post Office Box 23117, Houston, Texas 77228.
We're teaching on the weapons of our warfare, and the text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I have the Amplified Bible, but I want to quote it out of the King James Version, at least the text there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the weapons are listed. And then in Isaiah, you don't necessarily need to turn to that, but I'd like for you to write down Isaiah 8:18. Now, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not what? Tell me. Tell me out loud. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and brings every thought into the captivity of Christ. I'm thrilled by that phrase that says that it pulls down, the weapons pull down, every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know one thing the devil doesn't want you to have is knowledge. Now you listen to me. He doesn't care how much you, how inspired, Nancy, you become. As long as he can keep knowledge, Bible, revelation knowledge from you, he'll be satisfied. He doesn't care how much you run, jump, shout, turn somersaults, and roll and fall out. As long as he can keep Bible knowledge. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and brings every thought into the captivity of Christ. God wants us to have a knowledge of him. A knowledge of him. He wants every high and lofty thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God to be cast out. And every thought to be brought into the captivity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what was wrong with me, Gerald. All those years in the Baptist ministry, I did not have the knowledge of God. I did not have the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought of him as a Baptist Jesus, as a denominationalized Jesus that had lost his power. But once I got revelation knowledge of who Jesus really is and the kind of God we serve, Marky, I'll tell you, it changed my life. To know God is to love him. To know God is to have no fear of him. To know God is to have joy in his presence. Now, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We do have a warfare. I'm going to quickly say these things again. We do have a warfare, and we are at battle, and we are facing an enemy. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The Amplified Version says our opponents are spirits without bodies. Now, you can't fight physically spirits without bodies. Now, you young people listening to me? I mean, our opponents are spirit forces without bodies. How are you going to hit a spirit? I mean, you take a ball bat and hit a spirit, it'll go right through him. We are wrestling against principalities and against powers, but thank God, even though our weapons are not carnal, they are mighty through God. I want you to say the weapons of my warfare are mighty through God. I can pull down strongholds. I can cast down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Now, these weapons are found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, we know there are other weapons like the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of Jesus. But actually, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit are the weapons of our warfare. So turn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll review here just a moment. You know there are 9 spiritual gifts. I want you to say there are 9 supernatural gifts available for me in my warfare against spirit forces. All right, now you can read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 those 9 spiritual gifts. And let me just give them to you, not from just in the order they're given there. But the Bible says there are 3 vocal gifts: the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. All right, say there are 3 vocal gifts. Say that. Talk louder.
There are 3 vocal gifts.
The gift of prophecy.
Gift of prophecy.
The gift of tongues.
Gift of tongues.
The gift of interpretation of tongues.
Gift of interpretation.
There are 3 revelation gifts.
There are 3 revelation gifts.
The gift of the word of knowledge.
Gift of word of knowledge.
The gift of the word of wisdom.
Gift of word of wisdom.
The gift of discerning of spirits.
Gift of discerning.
There are 3 power gifts.
There are 3 power gifts.
The gift of wonder-working faith. The gift of the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. They're available to me. All right, now we are to be supernaturally endowed people. You don't need to turn to it, but Isaiah 8:18 said, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel." I want you to know, friends, God's doing marvelous things in these days. I like what Marvin Ford said. I've never had anything thrill me so much in many a day when he talked about dying and going to heaven and about standing in the presence of Almighty God and then turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and having a conversation with him. He was clinically dead for 30 minutes and came back to life. And he told about his conversation with Jesus. And among other things that he asked Jesus, he said, "Jesus, when are you coming back for your saints?" And Jesus reversed the order, and he said to him 3 things. He said, "First of all, I want to tell you I'm going to come back one day with my saints. But before I come back to the earth with my saints, I'm going to come back for my saints. But," he said, "even before I come back for my saints, I'm going to come back in these last days to my saints in a special visitation of authority." You missed a good place to clap. I want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing marvelous, supernatural, unheard of things in our day to the body of Christ, in the body of Christ, and individually, sovereignly, as he desires. A preacher that I know just went to Tanzania. And a man was supposed to meet him there, a missionary. And he got there, didn't know anybody, nobody met him. 3 days he waited in a hotel, nobody met him. And here's what happened. Way up in the mountains, in a mountain village of 8,000 people, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to that heathen tribe of 8,000 people. Showed himself visibly alive. Didn't tell him the gospel, didn't tell him how to be saved, but made himself clearly seen to those people in that tribe. And the chief sent down, he knew that missionary down there that was to meet the plane, and sent down to the missionary and said, "There are 8,000 people up here waiting to hear what you have to say about God." And when he got up there, he said, "There is only one God." And he said, "He has a son named Jesus who died for you." And the chief said, "What is his name?" He said, "Jesus." He said, "Now what is it again?" He said, "Jesus." He said, "That's him. That's what the man said his name was that appeared to us." Glory be to God. Now, that just happened. That just happened. I'll tell you, these things are going to occur more and more and more. And I'll tell you, the body of Christ is going to have to be ready like that missionary. There are going to come calls from all over the world. Come tell me. Come tell me. Angels can't tell it. Jesus won't tell it. The body of Christ is going to have to tell it. And I'm telling you, friends, we need to be endowed with the Spirit of God as never before, because there's going to come calls from all over the world to come tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory be to God. I cree ki hishta mahastav randa ku yaman manasa marabatara. I de go dosha mahase. Efrededo ula manana efasten de la mahase de bahato. Yes, many of you do not understand the larger picture and the overall scene, but you don't have to understand it all. Just know that I'm working. But you have a little glimpse tonight in what has been said of why I am training my people. For there will come a day when the call will come and the work has to be done quickly. And I am training my people all over the world. And you are in a training period here, so listen carefully. Learn while you can. Prepare yourself. And one day my call will come to you and you shall be glad that you're ready, saith the Lord. Well, let's don't patty cake. Let's clap. Well, now these gifts are listed here, and I've emphasized to you several things in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the Amplified Version that I quickly want to go over, but I emphasize them in other messages, so I'll not linger on them. But I get thrilled at these phrases in the Amplified Version. It says, now about spiritual gifts, I would not have you be ignorant. In the Amplified, it says, now about spiritual gifts, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Thank God there's supernatural energy for us. Can you say amen? Amen. Oh, I can feel the rising of supernatural energy when I prophesy. I can feel the rising of supernatural energy inside of me when I speak in tongues. When these gifts begin to operate, they are endowments of supernatural energy. Then look quickly in verse 4. Now there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments. And then it says, extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. I like that phrase, don't you? Extraordinary powers distinguishing certain Christians. How many of you would like to have a little extraordinary power distinguishing you in the body of Christ? Well, that's available. You see, we've talked about that. And then look down there in verse 7. But to each one, everybody say each one. See, each one, everyone. Nobody's left out. Nobody was behind the door when the gifts were given out. But to each one, say each one, is given the manifestation of the Spirit. All right, now let me read in the Amplified and tell you what that means. That is the evidence, the spiritual illumination for good and profit. You see, I like that word, a special endowment of supernatural energy. I like that phrase where it says extraordinary power distinguishing certain Christians. And I like that phrase that says spiritual illumination. Spiritual illumination, to be suddenly illuminated by the spiritual gifts of God. And then look quickly at the 11th verse. All these achievements and abilities, the Amplified says. Talking about the moving of the gifts of the Holy Ghost supernaturally. All these achievements and abilities are inspired and brought to pass by the same Holy Spirit. In other words, has nothing to do with my ability and my achievements or your ability or your achievements. Nothing whatsoever. Fact is, when I've seen the gifts of the Holy Ghost operate, I've had to expend less energy than any word could ever describe to you. The energy, the ability is in the Holy Ghost. And it says here that the achievements and abilities are from the one Holy Ghost who apportions to each one individually exactly as he chooses. exactly as he chooses. We just have to be available, you see, to whatever the need is for that hour. Now, you see, but it's the Spirit's ability. It is the Spirit's ability. Sister Bethany told me the other day, she's been in Kenya, of course, with her family, and she said, I looked out, she said, and I saw a black lady, and she said, I'm especially drawn to the black people because we ministered to them in Kenya, and I have a special love for them. And one of the ladies came into the church, and she said, I noticed she had a very strange look in her eye, and I knew that demon powers were in her. She said, but you know, I just had to confess that I was a little bit afraid to go in by myself and deal with that woman. I said, well, don't be afraid of that, because the Lord sent them two by two. She said, but I really thought, well, I need somebody because I have a little apprehension about it, you see. And she said, I thought maybe I'd just get somebody to go in. I couldn't find anybody, so I finally did find one woman to go in there, but I felt like I needed a man. She said, well, to myself, I'll cast out a few little demons. I know she's got a lot of them, but I can see some strong ones in there. And said, I'll just cast out the little ones, and I'll get some man to cast out the strong ones later. Now, she told me that. You know, she said, I felt so helpless. But she said, you know, I got inside of the room with that woman and this other little woman there just standing there keeping me company. And said that spirit began to manifest itself and said I recognized it as the same kind of spirit that I dealt with over there in Africa, a strong spirit. And she said something came all over me. She said the Spirit of God rose up in me and said I got as bold as a lion. And she said, why, I know you. I recognize you, Spirit. I've met you in Africa. You come out of this woman. And he came out instantly. But the point I'm making is this. It's not our work. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I cast out spirits. I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. And I said, be glad when that feeling of helplessness comes over you. Because that's when God's getting ready to do great things. Now, these are the weapons of our warfare. These spiritual gifts should be in operation in our life, in the warfare, in the walk of our life. Now, Paul is the one that spoke these words. Paul is the one that spoke these words by the Holy Ghost. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Now, you see, he fought not with carnal weapons, but with spiritual weapons, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, the core of the message tonight is to show you that he practiced what he preached. So we're going to turn to the book of Acts, and we're going to start with chapter 13 in the book of Acts. And I want to show you how, in the ministry of Paul, he depended entirely, not upon his ability, but upon these weapons of his warfare, which are the Holy Ghost gifts. He was dependent on the Spirit of God. You know, I just know that God's been just so embarrassed at the way I've acted sometime. I'll tell you, I've acted like it was my ability and my achievements and I could do it all. I'm sure God just laughed and said to Gabriel, you reckon he'll ever learn anything? Well, thank God I know a little bit more than I did know. But as you study the Bible, you see, the book of Acts is our pattern. There's only one church. There wasn't a first church and another church now. There's just one church, been down here ever since Jesus started it. It's still here. They had weapons of their warfare that were the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you, brother, they didn't lose battles. They won them. Say amen out loud. Now, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. He waited on the Holy Ghost. You know, today, we just do things just because we've seen everybody else do them. But I'm sure that we ought to think through a few things and not be so anxious to jump in. You know, we are so anxious to do things, sometimes we may not be scriptural. But God knows we're anxious. And I guess I'm more guilty than all of you in doing it. But if we'll study the Bible, how these men acted, we'll find that they didn't act exactly like we did today, and they got a lot more done. I'll tell you, in some of my meetings in times past, I'll tell you, I stirred up enough dust to reach up to heaven. I mean, I kicked, squalled, shook people, threw them down, and I'll tell you, ran through the audience, and when the dust settled, just about little more than nothing was taking place. I mean, just a lot of frothing folk. Oh, no, now I won't take that back. We did have some good things, but I'm talking about in comparison to really what I thought ought to take place. I went home just in the attitude of weeping. I said, dear God, I jumped, shouted, carried on, but I know and you know that a lot was not done that should have been done. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, there is a reality, but we're going to have to wait on God, and we're going to have to move in the Holy Ghost. And listen to God. I'll tell you, I've had God speak to me. And when I obeyed Him, the Holy Ghost speaking to me, when I obeyed Him, I saw the most miraculous things take place instantaneously. I mean, I didn't have to shout, shake, fall out, push anybody over, do anything. I mean, when God does it, He does it well. And what we need to do is learn how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost just back up and say, well, go ahead and see if you can do it. I'll give you 10 years. See if you can wear yourself out. When you make up your mind, you need me. I'm your helper. And I about made up my mind. I'm going to let Him help me. All right, now Paul here in the 13th chapter is sent out by the church at Antioch, he and Barnabas, and that's the way it ought to be. Everybody ought to have a church. Everybody ought to have some roots down, and they ought to go forth, you see. They ought to have somebody come back and report to, you know. Now, I'm not talking about dominating them, not have any other churches to go visit, anything like that, but they trained them and they sent them out, all right. Now, they got out. And the first thing they ran into was witchcraft. I mean, the warfare started as soon as they started out. I mean, they had a warfare. They got over there in a certain place, and a sorcerer by the name of Elymas met them. All right, now look in verse 6. When we had passed through the entire island of Cyprus, as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain Jewish wizard or sorcerer, a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. Now, isn't that just like the devil to name himself the son of Jesus? He was closely associated with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, who was an intelligent and sensible man of sound understanding, and he summoned to him Barnabas and Saul. And sought to hear the word of God, verse 8, but Elymas, the wise man, for that is the translation of his name, which he had given himself, opposed them, seeking to keep the proconsul from accepting the faith. All right, now let's just stop right there. Now there's a battle, there's a warfare, you see, going on. Now what is Paul and Barnabas going to do? Let's just make out like we don't never read that story before and we don't know the outcome. Paul, I'm sure, was a great big man. Barnabas was. I'm sure Paul was a little smaller. His name means little, you know. He is 5'7", weighed just what I did, just the right size. Thank God for the right size people. Could I have a few amens from the little folks? All right, but you see, now here is this sorcerer and this wizard up there and Paul trying to talk to this man and this wizard just giving his arguments, jumping up and down and saying it's not so and I'm right and it indicates he really opposed. Now, what would you have done? First of all, now if it had been us, we'd have said, now, hey, we got a demon-possessed man here. Now, I'll tell you what we ought to do. Barnabas, you're bigger than I am. If you would just grab him real good around the shoulders, I'll get his feet. And we'll take him outside, and we'll get him out of this man's presence because this is a high-ranking man, and we don't want to embarrass him. And you sit on top of him, and I'll cast the devil out of him. That's what I'll do. Now, that would have been the normal thing to do. Now, how many of you agree that he needed the devil cast out of him? Anybody would know that. He's a sorcerer. He's a wizard. But they didn't cast the devil out of him. They did not cast the devil. You say, why? I don't know why. They followed the Holy Ghost. They followed the Holy Ghost. Just because you meet somebody full of the devil doesn't mean that you just automatically are supposed to cast the devil out of him right then. Why don't you ask God what he wants done? We think that every time we meet somebody and we know that the devil's got a hold of them, that we ought to just jump, run, and just do it right then. It's not Bible to do it that way. You say, well, don't you want them delivered? Of course I do. But we know Jesus said, of my own self I can do nothing. He said, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. So these men knew the weapons of their warfare were the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the mighty movings of the Holy Ghost. So they didn't just automatically cast demons out of everybody that had demons. Actually, two gifts, I think, came into operation here. I think the gift of the word of wisdom and the gift of miracles operated right here. First of all, God, by the Holy Ghost, told Paul, or Saul, what his intent about this situation was and what he was going to do, because Paul had the faith to operate in that realm. He evidently knew exactly what God was going to do, because who had ever thought of doing what he did? I mean, you just wouldn't think about what he said. Who had ever thought about doing what Paul did in this case? God revealed it to him by the word of wisdom. And then a miracle happened. Listen to what Paul did. Paul said, he turned to him. And it says in verse 9, but Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, there's the secret. A lot of time when we try to do our work, we're not even all the way full. There's another little thing I'm going to preach on sometime right here. The last phrase says, when he was filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, he looked steadily at Elymas. He looked steadily at him. I've noticed, Maureen, that when the Holy Ghost uses me, especially in the realm of revelation, or in the realm in many cases, that the Holy Ghost looks intently out of my eyes. How many of you ever heard me say that? This is true. Paul looks steadily at him, steadily at him. You notice in the third chapter of the book of Acts, it says that Paul and John looked and gazed at that man. Holy Ghost comes over, he'll fasten your eyes, you see. And over there at Lystra, it says in the Amplified, and Saul gazing intently at that cripple. You see, that's the Holy Ghost fixing your eyes on the people that he's about to do something with, for, or to. Now, listen to what Paul said. He didn't cast the devil out of him. The Holy Ghost had some other reason. I don't know why, but whatever it was, it worked. Verse 10, and he said, you master of every form of deception and recklessness, unscrupulousness and wickedness, you son of the devil. He called himself the son of Jesus. You son of the devil, you enemy of everything that is upright and good, will you never stop perverting and making crooked the straight paths of the Lord and plotting against his saving purposes? And now, lo, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind. So blind that you will not be unable to see the sun for a time. Instantly, there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he groped, seeking persons to lead him by the hand. And the proconsul gave his heart to the Lord. And I would have too. I would have too. But you see, God, you see the weapons of Paul, he wasn't carnal. He didn't drag that man out there. Barnabas could have taken him out by the nape of the neck and held him out there till Paul preached to him. But they didn't use carnal weapons. They used the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And God revealed to this man his intent in that situation. And the gift of miracles, or whatever you want to call it, came into operation. And Paul spoke out by the gift of faith, no doubt, and brought it to pass. And instantly it worked. Oh, you say, I wish I could do something like that. Well, you can't. But the Holy Ghost in you can. I said, the Holy Ghost in you can.
Amen.
Say, the Holy Ghost in me can.
But
you see, usually, the way I've done it in the past, I've just gone ahead and done what I've seen everybody else do without asking God what he wanted done. It would do us good to stop and pray over every situation and get the mind of the Holy Ghost. But normally, we don't even take time to pray. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We just rush in. It's not really a criticism. We're just anxious. But I think some of that anxiety ought to be put aside. And we ought to follow, you know, and listen to the Holy Ghost. All right, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 14. Paul is over there at Lystra. And there it says in verse 7, and they continued to preach the gospel, the glad tidings. Now, in verse 8, now at Lystra a man sat whose feet it was impossible for him to use, for he was a cripple from birth and had never walked. Never walked. He was listening to Paul. I'm reading out the Amplified. He was listening to Paul as he talked, and Paul gazing intently at him. You see, that's the Holy Ghost rising up in Paul. The reason that's so precious to me is because I have had it happen to me so many times. Just like two other eyes coming right up over my eyeballs and looking out of me. And I've looked at people in the audience by the Holy Ghost, and as soon as I look at them, they drop their head. They knew that I was about to call them out or about to minister to them because they could feel it just like that. Feel it just like that. Gazing intently at him, shouted at him, stand upright. He observed that he had faith to be healed. See, now there's a gift of revelation. There's a gift of knowledge. He observed and knew and perceived, your Bible says in the King James, that he had faith to be healed. How did he understand that? By the gift of the word of knowledge. He shouted at him, stand erect on your feet. And he leaped and walked. How many of you would like to have that kind of results? Well, now, you see, he did that by the Holy Ghost, the weapons of his warfare. He gazed intently. The Holy Ghost rose up in him, and he knew that the man, by revelation knowledge, had faith to be healed, and then he just shouted at him in faith to arise, and the man rose up and walked. Look in chapter 16. In chapter 16 is a very unusual occurrence there of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul had been led by the Holy Spirit to Macedonia, and they were going to prayer, and in verse 16, and as we, Luke says, who wrote the book of Acts, as we were on our way to the place of prayer. Do you have a place of prayer? On our way to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who was possessed. I mean, there's no question about that. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell the future events and to discover hidden knowledge, and she brought her owners much gain by her fortune telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who announced to us the way of salvation." Now, how'd you like to have a frazzling woman following you around all over the city shouting like that? And you have a bunch of men. He had about 8 men with him over there. 6, 7, 8 men traveling with him. Hear this little woman following them around, embarrassing them. These men are the servants of the Most High God who's showing us the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God who's showing to us the way of salvation. Everybody knows she's demon-possessed, following Paul around like a little dog shouting out. Now, why didn't Paul cast that demon out the first day. That's a good thing to meditate on. Bible says, and this she did many days. Verse 18, and this she did many days. Now, why? It seems unreasonable to me. If that had been me, I would have said to one of those Asian fellas, I said, you get you a friend, and I mean, you get that little woman, and I don't want you to mistreat her, but you take one arm, you take the other arm, and you lead her away from me, and if you have to put a gag in her mouth, I want her hushed. That would have been a carnal method. Carnal method. How many of you know 8 men ought to be able to take care of one little woman? A carnal method. You know, get her off the dock, say, now listen, little lady, you got your own thing to do and your own party to go to and your own business. You just take care of your business, leave us alone. But you see, with the Holy Ghost, it's a different ball game. Well, the mightiest apostle, I guess, that's ever lived, one of them, surely he had the power to cast out demons. How many of you believe he did? Well, don't you have that power? But you see, in the Bible, just because they knew they had the power, they didn't act all the time impulsively. They knew the power lay in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's evident there. How many of you have ever dealt with people with demon powers and haven't been as successful as you wish you had been? You know that's so. You know that's so. I'm not saying that you ought to wait days to do things, but what this does, it teaches us that these men waited on the Holy Ghost and the gifts of God to move in their lives or some direction. Now, there's no other explanation. Why would a great apostle go along and let this happen many days? Well, first of all, I really believe in my heart that he was waiting for a word from the Holy Ghost as to when to act. 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 Just because you are in the presence of a demon-possessed person doesn't mean that you ought not to take time to pray and to seek God and to just wait on the Holy Ghost, because it's the Holy Ghost in you that's going to do the work. This great apostle, the Bible says she followed him many days. But then the Holy Ghost began to rise up in him, the gift of discerning of spirits. Of course, he knew, of course, that she was demon-possessed. But you see, the gift of discerning of spirits began to rise up in him and began to be manifested. And the Bible said something that I like. And said, then Paul, verse 18, this she did many days, then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out. In other words, he had had it. I mean, he got a holy anger at what the devil was doing to this precious little girl. A holy anger rose up in him at the idea of a demon power taking a precious little mother's daughter and using her body and her voice, a compassion and an annoyance and an anger. The gifts of the Holy Ghost began to operate, and he began to see that demonic spirit on the inside of that precious little girl. And the Bible says, and he turned and said to the spirit. That indicates he saw the spirit. He recognized the spirit. He was aware of the spirit. He didn't even talk to the girl. He said to the spirit, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very moment. I tell you, that's success. I said, that's success. That's what happens when the Holy Ghost directs you. These are the weapons of our warfare. He came out that very moment. Oh, how we ought to yearn and long for the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost and make ourselves available as a channel. Stay full of love and say, oh God, whatever the situation demands, I'm a channel. Use me, oh God, that the Holy Ghost arise within me, and use me, oh God, and let me wait upon you to get the mind of the Spirit in every situation. I like Norval Hayes. If you ever listen to Norval Hayes very long, and he deals with demon-possessed people, I'm amazed at how he acts. He'll just do things just totally different than other people. He just went over by one that was just so demon-possessed and just sat down and just talked to her a little while. And she ran out, and he just said, well, I'll see you tomorrow night, and maybe I'll talk to you a little bit then. You know, he's waiting on the mind of the Holy Ghost. You've heard him talk very much. You know that's the way he acts. And he has great success. But he never gets in a hurry. Never gets in a hurry. He can preach till doomsday. And Norval, when you come back, I hope you listen to this tape. Hallelujah. Thank God eternity was made for him. And it looks like I'm taking after him, too. But I started early tonight. I still got 10 minutes. All right. You see, Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now, I'll tell you, these weapons are the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and he waited, and he let God do the work. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you do, say amen out loud. All right. I'm not going to take time to give you this scripture, but it's in Acts 19, 11, and 12, it says God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Handkerchiefs were sent out, you know, and the demons departed and diseases departed out of people's body. But turn to chapter 28, in the very last chapter of Acts. These things are still going on. They ought to be going on today, and they are. All right, in Acts chapter 28, Paul has been cast upon an island. A shipwreck. They built a fire and a snake bit Paul, and they thought he was, so mean that the gods had were going to kill him, and he didn't die like they thought he would. The natives thought he would, and so they decided he was a god instead of a criminal because he wouldn't die from that snake bite. And then in verse 7, they're on this island of Malta now, and there's a great need, a lot of sick people, a lot of people need to be saved there. I want you to notice how God uses the weapons of the gifts of the Holy Ghost to break that island wide open. Verse 7, in the vicinity of that place, there were estates belonging to the head man of the island named Publius, who accepted and welcomed and entertained us heartily and hospitably for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius was sick in bed. You see, the gifts of the Holy Ghost are the weapons of our warfare. And here, this man's father is sick in bed with recurring attacks of fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him. I don't know whether I don't know what the King James says, but I like this. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. I wish we could understand these phrases mean something. He went in to see him, number one, and after praying. I don't know whether it says that in the King James or not. Does it say that? And after praying. You remember when Peter raised that woman from the dead, it said he kneeled down and prayed. Kneel down and pray. Why did he pray? Why didn't he just march in like Mr. Big Man, head man from Jerusalem, and just raise him from the dead? Because it's not God's will for all dead people to be raised. Now, how many of you know that's true? Because otherwise, we just have a never-die theory, you know. But he knelt down and prayed to get the mind of the Holy Ghost. Well, why did Paul pray? Well, he didn't have to pray, about the fact whether it's God's will to heal that man or not. We know it's God's will to heal him. But he prayed to get the mind of the Holy Ghost as to how and when to begin to move in the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, honestly, Anna, if it had been me up until the time I've been studying, I'm just going to confess my, the way I have been short on my shortcomings. I'd have just said, well, bless God, that's a devil. Bless God, I got power to lay hands on you, and bless God, I'm going to do it, and bless God, you're going to get well, and bless God, here it comes. And bless God, he'd have probably stayed there with dysentery. You know what I mean? It doesn't occur to us, even in a room where people are sick, why don't we do like they did in the Bible? He prayed. Why did he pray? Because he knew he was dependent upon the Holy Ghost and the gifts of God. Do you understand what I'm talking about? An utter and complete dependence upon the Holy Ghost, and we do not take time, Gerald, many times, to seek the mind of God. I remember when they came to Jesus one time and said, what are we going to do about this woman? The law says stone her. I think one reason he knelt down. He was still human as well as divine. He just knelt down and wrote on the ground. I think he just wanted to wait on the Holy Ghost to just give him the words to say. Because he said, the words that I speak are the words of the Father. Well, Paul, you see, in this sick room, now he knelt, now it says, he entered in to see him, and after he prayed. Why don't we pray and say, oh, Father, here I am in the presence of a sick person, and I know that I couldn't heal the hind leg of a gnat. I couldn't in my own power heal a flea. I couldn't do it, Lord, because of my own self. I can do nothing just like Jesus. It has to be the Holy Ghost in me. Father, if there's anything in me that will impede the progress of the Holy Ghost and the mind of God being revealed to me, help me to know, because I'd like to confess it. I'd like to be clean. I want you to wash me and help me to be a channel. Lord, I do desire the healing of these people. I do desire a miracle to be performed. I do desire to see the great love of God manifested, but I cannot do anything without the Holy Ghost. Now I'm going to worship you and praise you, and if you will give some manifestation, I'd be so pleased, Father, because it's going to be you and not me. That kind of praying brings God up out of you. The Bible said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Well, the Lord may tell you, well, why don't you tell him that if he'll get rid of his resentment, that I'll heal him. Yeah, he might tell you that. I started to pray for a woman one time, and the Lord checked me, and she was standing in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just standing there, and I began to wait on God. As one time I did wait on God, and in the spirit I just saw like a neon light going on and off, resentment, 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 resentment. And I looked at her and whispered to her, I said, do you have any resentment against anybody? And she looked at me very calmly, and directly she turned into another woman. She just got such a scowl on her face, and she just twisted and just contortions and just twisted her fist up like this. She said, yes, I do, and there's not any use of you talking to me about it. Well, what do you use me praying for? Well, where did I get that? The Holy Ghost. I waited long enough for God to talk to me. Oh, if you ever pray for me, pray that I'll do that all the time. Because that's what we need to do, is to wait on God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, but it's by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, Paul entered in to see him, and after praying, you see, something happened when he prayed. And laying his hands on him, he healed him. He healed him. Paul healed him. Paul healed him. That's what the Bible says. But how many of you know that it was Paul as a channel for the Holy Ghost to do the healing? And now look at this. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just lay your hands on people? Oh, I have such a desire to see people healed. And we don't see enough people healed. And we need to seek the face of God. We need to enter into to the area that we haven't touched. We need to quit playing church. I mean, we need to realize that there needs to be a knowledge of God. And we need to touch God and let God touch us, Alfred, until not just through me, but all of us, the Holy Ghost will so move. Think about Paul rising up in the Spirit of God in him. And he just lays his hands on that man. And that special endowment of supernatural power, the energy of God, the power of God out of the Holy Ghost comes flowing through his hands, going down into that man's body, energizing and warming it, and just instantly healing him. Oh, God, help us to have that. Oh, God, help us to have that. I'll tell you, little children in these last days are going to have that, Teresa. Men and women are going to have it. I'll tell you, it's the most thrilling thing in the world. I've only seen it happen 3, 4, 5 times in my lifetime. But oh, I tell you, to see instantaneously the flow of God into a human body is a marvelous thing to see. Marvelous thing to see. You've heard me tell of that little crippled leg that just turned around, just straightened out right in front of my eyes, right while I held it in my hands. We don't see enough of that. But you see, he prayed. The Spirit of God and the gifts of healings came into operation. Now, it'd be wonderful to just have one man healed. All right, but look at what it says. It says, verse 9, and after this had occurred. How many of you know the word got around? The other people on the island who had diseases also kept coming and were what? Cured. In other words, they just got the word out. Paul just kept that anointing and gift of God operating in his life, thereby yielding to God. And God won the battle on that island by simply Paul laying his hands on all those precious sick people, and every lasting one of them were healed. Now that we have the same God today. And I'm saying we need to stir ourselves up. We need to touch God. We need to divorce ourselves from the things of this world and get serious with God. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you, friends. There's not a one of us. We're denying the body of Christ, our ministry, and our abilities in God. We're robbing each other. Unless we have the weapons of our warfare, if you don't pray, seek God. Let God use you, and you should come to me, and God wants you to prophesy over me and encourage my heart, and you don't do it, you rob me. You weaken me. If God puts a desire for prayer in your heart, desire for praying for the sick in your heart, and you don't seek the mind of God and cultivate these gifts, somebody is going to miss a healing that they ought to have. And I want to conclude by saying this. Most all of the gifts and the warfare and all of this went on outside the church. We get the idea we have to come to church, see the gifts operate. Dear God, they had them out on the dusty roads. They had them in the homes. They had them wherever they were. The body of Christ was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and they went everywhere. And the gifts operated in their lives, and they won the warfare by the moving of the Holy Ghost and the gifts in their lives. It ought to be in all the stores. It ought to be everywhere you go. You ought to be so sensitive to God that you don't have to be in church to see God work. God will work wherever you are. Wherever you are. Let's say it together. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for special endowments of supernatural energy. Thank God for extraordinary power distinguishing certain Christians. Thank God it is the Holy Ghost and his ability in me. And I am willing to be a channel. I will cultivate. I will desire. And I will seek after. And I will appreciate the mighty gifts of the Holy Ghost. I will see them flow I will bless the body of Christ and the world as a channel of the Holy Ghost. I will not grieve the Spirit of God. I do confess my sins. Wash me, O Lord, in the blood of Jesus, and cleanse me, and make me a channel. Lift your hands and praise Him for it. Praise Him out loud. Praise Him out loud.